Do you want to find solutions on how to make decisions faster, how to solve problems with your teams, or define a clear strategy that resonates with your staff and customers? There is a workshop for that. Hello there, I'm Nati Ravez, founder of La Workshoppeuse. I'm a collaboration consultant and workshop facilitator, member of an amazing workshopper community. In this podcast, I meet them to get the best advice on facilitation, and I let leaders and managers speak to understand the challenges they are facing. Welcome to the show. Bonjour everyone. I'm so glad to be back with you in this new episode. First, I want to thank you for all your feedback on the last one. It was really, really nice to read your messages, so thank you for that. Today, I welcome Matthew Shipp from the United States. Matthew is a fellow workshop facilitator. He's a very good sparring partner for me when it comes to exchanging ideas on workshop design. He has a special nickname from the Workshop Master community. He tells us more about how he got this nickname. And in the first part of this episode, we talk about his journey from being a research lab technician to setting up his facilitation business. We also talk about why it is important to be aware of the needs of the clients behind the problems they want to solve and how to adapt the facilitation approach to the needs. And in the second part, we speak about an asynchronous Abide workshop he developed to adapt his work to the energy of his participants. Thank you for sharing this moment with us. Have a good listen and don't hesitate to leave me a comment. Hello, Matt.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm good, and you?
Doing quite well, thank you.
What time is it at your place?
It is 11:34 in the morning here.
Yeah, and at my place it's 6:30 in the evening, because you are from Missouri in the U.S.
Yes.
You are a workshop facilitator and the founder of Amberry Solutions. Mm-hmm. And would you mind if I could say what your nickname is? You received a nickname from the workshop community.
I did, yes. Go ahead.
So you are the coffee man.
Yes.
Would you mind to tell us why?
Yeah, no problem. So when I got into the workshop facilitation and got into the community, I had one client, and it was a coffee shop just outside of St. Louis, Missouri, in St. Charles, called Upshot Coffee. And I've had them for about a year and a half now. But all of my everything I did was based off of their challenges, and workshops I designed was based off of their needs. So every time I come back into the community, I go, well, at the coffee shop today, I did this. And then another meeting would come up and I would talk about the coffee shop. And this is the new workshop I designed because they had these needs. And what do you think about this? And after, you know, quite a bit of time, you know, it just kind of got the, oh, Matt's going to talk about the coffee shop again. And I've had people messaging me from the community, which is a global community, saying, it's like, I feel like I've been to this coffee shop, but I've never even been to the United States. So it just kind of stuck. And I still talk about the coffee shop to this day. So, yeah, that's how it happened. And then I believe at the at a retreat we went to, I was introduced that way, and that was great for the people who knew the inside. But for the people that didn't, they started assuming that I owned a coffee shop, and I roasted my own beans, and I did all this, and I was like, so I had to kind of displace. Spent the rest of the retreat displacing all these assumptions, but it also didn't help that I had brought sample coffee bags from that coffee shop to the retreat to hand out, so that further confused it. But it led to some really cool conversations and some laughs along the way. So yeah, just what happened.
In the past, you were a molecular plant biologist. So
yes.
It would be, I'm very curious to know, how did you get from there to facilitation?
So yeah, I was a molecular plant biologist for 16 years. I worked on all sorts of interesting projects, from why plants respond to gravity to lipids and biodiesel fuels. But what led me to facilitation from working in a laboratory is very set on processes and protocols, and you're always optimizing those and rewriting those to make them better and more efficient. And I really like the process part of that. And I started using that, what I learned from the lab, to apply to the pipelines that are in industrial research, and helping people, mostly like the team managers, understand where some of the pitfalls or the bottlenecks were occurring in their processes by literally just taking them into a white room, a room with a whiteboard, and having them explain to me their processes. And by just sketching them out, visualizing them, they were able to stop me and actually say, wait a minute, why am I doing it that way? I don't know. Why are you doing it that way? And they was able to basically see and fix things just for me, just writing out their process visually for them. I knew I was onto something. And so I started searching out, is there an industry for this? And, you know, found a few things, like they said, the UX world and service design. And what was really familiar with me is it just felt like, oh, this is the scientific process, scientific method. The only difference is you're throwing the human element into it. And it was just a new method of problem solving, iterating, creating a hypothesis and testing them. And that's kind of where I started to kind of offboard from my my research career into facilitation and eventually discovering workshopping.
Okay. And then you stopped your first job and got into this field, and then you start your own business.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. I started Embury Solutions about a year and a half ago. It took about a year and a half of discovery to figure out what this was and what I wanted to do with it, and kind of rediscover a new passion for it.
Yeah. We had a lot of conversation together at the retreat, and I know that you have a special workshop, but before we go to that, to this product that you developed for your customer, I would like to know from you, how important is it to know how your client's business works and how their team works?
It's very, very important. If you can start to understand how your client's business works with their team, in turn works within that business, it's going to help you, because immediately it's going to influence how you design your workshops around their challenges. And it'll also immediately influence how you facilitate to them. So, you know, a good example is, you always run into the problem when people say, well, I don't have that much time. We don't have time to put 3 hours in. And in some cases, you can talk them into by showing them the value of it. But in some cases, that's not the case. They may only have 2 hours they can give up a week for this. So you're going to have to figure out how to modify your workshop, truncate it, squeeze the best pieces out of it, to get the best out of them. And, it's just these challenges or these constraints I have found that have actually strengthened my understanding of workshop and facilitation, because those constraints exist and I can really figure out what's really working, what's not, and not just say, oh, well, you know, we have from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. and we can just take it easy and we can go for a walk and talk about for working with a coffee shop. I don't have that. I get them at the end of the day. They are kind of exhausted from working all day, and now they have to do a workshop with me for 2 more hours. So I have to understand what energy level I'm dealing with, what are their capabilities at the end of the day. And a lot of that was through some trial and error. I discovered they could still make pretty good decisions, but if I want them to attempt to create anything, I need to, that's not the best time to do it. So, Yeah. So basically kind of understanding how the team works, what their constraints are, what their no-goes are, and where can you push them a little bit in the envelopes, really does help you understand how to develop your workshops, build them, and how to facilitate to that group for things like, you know, managing energy and such.
Mm-hmm. But what kind of workshop are you doing with them? What are the topics of the customer?
Our topics are really range wide. I take facilitation outside of the digital world. So most of my challenges I like to work on are non-digital challenges. Now, we may use digital tools to get us to where we need to be, but we're not creating anything digital. We're not creating websites, apps, all of that. There's a lot of people doing that, but there leaves a lot of room for non-digital challenges, and that's what I'm after. So with the, with the coffee shop, we've done, some interesting projects. We've, things as simple as, establishing a maintenancing, how to perform proper maintenance on the coffee shop after closing, all the way up to complicated things as the whole team. The beauty of this is you're guiding this team. You're unlocking their problem solving abilities. And they have done everything from designing their own merchandise shelving, testing it with customers, and we've created a blueprint so they can implement it as soon as they want to. I've pulled them together and they've redesigned the workflow behind the barista bar so they're more effective and efficient. It all went down into designing, where the equipment went, so that influenced how they moved behind the bar, so they weren't running into each other, and how they understand, they are the content experts, they understand what works best for them, and they were able to together put that together and create a blueprint for that as well.
Oh, nice. You have a big palette of several kind of workshops.
Yeah. It's most of these workshops have just come out of their need and the constraints given to me. I've been joking. I think I made a post that I'm doing up to about 20%, and the rest of it is go forward and I hope it works out. And surprisingly, it works out about 85% of the time. But the great thing is, 100% of the time, you always gain valuable insights.
Yeah, this is the point.
Feel free to click the bell to subscribe this podcast on your player. You can also follow me on LinkedIn for more information on facilitation and workshops.
And you adapt your workshop to the needs of the customer.
Yes.
This is what you explained just before. And you have create a synchronized workshop. Could you tell me more about that? Because it's so clever. It's so good.
So it's a asynchronous hybrid workshop. And for anybody, asynchronous meeting is basically like there's a program out there called Loom. And you can record yourself, like you're talking to somebody, and then they can pick up the link and listen to it, and then they can record themselves replying back to you. But you're not there at the same time. It's not synchronous. It's asynchronous. I took that idea and applied it to two of the workshops I did for them. And I say hybrid because it combines what most people are used to is either like a remote or an in-person workshop, which I did. So mine was an in-person and a asynchronous hybrid. Together in person, we decided on what the challenges were, and asynchronously, we designed what we needed for that challenge. And then again, in person, we took those designs and would make decisions on those. So that's just kind of the high level look at it. So for the merchandise shelving design, we decided that it needed to be redesigned because the old one would just look like a coat rack and nobody was going and getting anything. So we decided on that. We decided on some of the parameters it needed in person. And then I used a Miro board and created a sections within that Miro board for each person on the team and gave them some materials and basically mocked up a similar graphic looking of that, of the shelf as it currently was, gave them materials, pretend extra shelving and icons to represent coffee bags and whatnot and shirts, and told them to go ahead and to take 20 to 30 minutes when they had their own time to log into the Miro board when they're at their most creative. So they're probably not at work. It's after, whether it's in the morning for them or at the night, people have different creative proclivities, and work on that. And they would log in, they'd build their perfect shelving system that they thought would work for the coffee shop. Everybody came into that on their own time. So I was able to capture them at their creative peak, versus being completely tired at the end of the day. And then we simply just took those, I took those off of the Miro board, printed them out for our next in-person meeting at the end of the day, which I've discovered they can still make good decisions and you can respond to a system. You're not creating creating anything, and printed those out, hung them up on the wall, and they went on and did kind of heat mapping and dot voting to what elements of each one they liked. Then we took those elements, discussed them, and then kind of put together sort of a collective super design at the end, all the aspects they liked. I went back again and I put that together for them in the mural board, printed it out, and we ran one more version of this. And then we isolated down to three top designs, took those to the customers. I had little coins for me. I say, hey, would you like to take a look at this? I'd hand them a coin for a free coffee, and they give me their opinion on which ones they like the best. I brought that back. And in the end, the owner and the leadership decided on the shelf they felt the customers responded with the best and what also best represented design-wise for the coffee shop. And that's the one we went forward with.
And what kind of contract do you have with your client?
My contract with them has been changing as of late. But during that time, yes, I was doing two workshops a month with them. And this was full leader team workshops. And early on, those were necessary to really get them organized, get the team aligned. There was a lot of projects that, you know, there were in a parking lot or they didn't know they really needed. So we dug up a lot of things and had a lot of projects going and had the leadership testing different ideas. And lately we've backed that off to one major team workshop probably every 3 months now, because we were just kind of recycling the same ideas because we'd gotten all the big ones out of the way. And so now every 3 months we revisit how the shop is doing overall. And isolating those challenges. And I've gone into doing more micro, very targeted workshops with aspects of their team, the roastery team, and how we're going to, how are they going to increase sales out of the roastery or wholesale? Another micro one I'm working on is developing a manager's challenge workshop that identifies manager's responsibilities and how they can better communicate and collaborate with their team. So I'm starting to break off into targeted, more targeted aspects of the shop. And that's going to be now of a value, which would have not have been a value initially because the team overall wasn't aligned. But now they have an aligned team and now they have more targeted challenges to tackle.
Okay. And do you have the feeling that because of these workshops, the team is aligned and the team is more motivated, maybe more engaged?
Yes. I wish I had my little testimonial up, but I had a great one. I've had a couple good ones from there. We took one of the shops that was struggling a little bit and just discovered that the staff wasn't sure how much independence they could take on decision-making. And that's all it was.
Yeah.
And we've never discovered that just by looking at the shop. It looked like they were running fine, but they don't know why, you know, the profits were down and everything. Once we discovered that and the owner gave them license to like, yeah, go ahead, make mistakes. Let us know what you're doing. That's fine. As long as you're taking action on these things, their ROI for that one shop rose 13%. And you know, so yeah, I've seen some significance. I've also been pulled aside, and been told like by the owner, he's like, Matt, I realize now I need to be leading the way you're facilitating. And that was a big moment right there. So,
so
they're starting to take tales from the way I'm facilitating, the way I'm showing them how to isolate ideas, prioritize those ideas and take action on them. And they're starting to kind of do it independently of me now. So, you know, in some ways, facilitation is a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah. So. No, it's nice. Very nice. Thank you for all these insights. I guess you never regret to have made this curve.
No, it's been great. It's wonderful watching, guiding people to making these breakthroughs that they probably maybe otherwise wouldn't have. It's really rewarding.
So, what is the takeaway of this podcast? Being conscious.
Yes.
Being conscious of your clients' need behind the problems they want to solve.
Yes, definitely.
Is that right?
And pay attention to their constraints and work within their constraints. And those constraints will only make you a stronger workshop designer and facilitator in the end.
Thank you very much, Matthew.
My pleasure.
I wish you a wonderful day and see you in the workshop community.
All right. Look forward to it. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Matthew is currently looking for coffee shop, brewery, and winery owners to do some market research. As thanks, he's offering a complimentary business bottleneck breakthrough mini workshop that will discover your business top three challenges in under 40 minutes. So if you are one of this person, or if you know someone who might be interested, you can connect with him via LinkedIn or email. If you enjoyed this episode and want to give your feedback, I'd love to read your comments. Next time I have the pleasure of welcoming Rebecca Courtney from Agent Smart, we will talk about her journey from school teacher to facilitation coach and how it was like to run her first own workshop at the Workshopper Retreat in Italy. We will also talk about a new facilitation course coming out and how she worked on that. Until then, I wish you success, health, and happiness. Au revoir.